Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. To create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Awakenings. Welcome, guests. Okay, so if you heard the beginning of the show, the show started then clicked off. So I was trying to hide the keyboard on my phone, so it hit the wrong button. That's how it goes. Hey, we're still in the shadow of the retrogrades. We still have retrogrades going, and we're still in the shadow of Mercury and Mars retrogrades. Anyway, welcome everyone in the chat. Welcome guests. Welcome to this program, and welcome to the community. Welcome those listening by phone as well. And if you have a question or a comment, or you'd like to get a reading, that number is 347-539-5122. If you are in the queue and you did have a question or a comment, or you wanted a reading, please press 1. Yeah, so everyone's getting in the chat here. Hello, everyone. Yeah, I had it. Greetings, Gemini Moon. Hey, Brada. Got one radiance. Welcome, guests. Welcome, everyone. Okay. Yeah, so that number is 347-539-5122. Yes, you can ask questions in the chat as well, or you can just call in. And please remember to press 1 on the keypad, because we get a lot of listeners. Most of our listeners are by the archives, but we do get a lot of listeners by phone and while they're at the office. Got an email from someone the other day that listens while they grocery shop. So they're in the to-do stream with their kids and their toddlers, so they're in the basket. So I thought that was kind of cool. I still have the one listener that one while vacuuming, and the other one, I loved it. This was years ago. Worked for a tech company, and a guy would put his hoodie up in his cubicle while he was doing programming and such. And listen with headsets. So I thought that was kind of cool too. And then, of course, we've got someone that listens in Hawaii as well that trains while they're recycling. So I always love to hear those. So if you feel so inspired, send me, email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com and let me know where and how you listen to Awakenings. Find it fascinating and kind of cool. I mean, you know, get it as you can, when you can, right? Long drives, cross-country trips, all of that. So, yeah. Oh, my God, I love it. This morning after my meditation, I was doing some writing. Those of you that follow my blog, soulplayground.com, I've got some new stuff. I just posted a couple things for the beginning of the month. I was doing my monthly energetic forecast and psychic tune-in. And then a lot of times if there's, you know, some interesting or more intense or challenging transitions, transformations, transits astrologically or, you know, new moon, they're all important, but there's some that are extra important or can be transforming or can be catalysts or new moons or anyway, I will post stuff where people are asking a lot of questions. So. Yeah, so one of my things this morning, I realized that one of my neighbors, they love on Wednesdays, their gardener's been coming, but they had changed the time right to the middle of Awakenings. So I had to close everything now. I don't know if you can hear, but I've got my windows open, my little office area, and the door open, and there's a gentle breeze, and the wind chimes are going, and I live on a residential area, so there's usually not a lot of traffic, although sometimes they do film here, which are going to be filming, and sometimes so that's trafficy and big trucks. But for the most part, it's quiet. So I was bummed and I went with it, but I did have the intention and I put it out into the universe. I wish that they would change the time. And so today, as I'm preparing, tuning in, I hear the blower, but it's over. It's gone. So the blower is gone. I guess they did it a little earlier, a lot earlier, and so we're not going to have that, at least for the now. So that's good enough for me for the now. I want to let everyone know, too, because emailing awakeningspodcast@gmail.com is the best way for guest suggestions, topic suggestions, etc. I know I say that all the time, and sometimes people say, why do you always say this or about your website? It's because I get emails and I get people posting on my social media asking, what's the best way to get in touch with you? What's the best way to reach you? Or I have this great guest. So we have peeps, we have support team here, great people that help with a lot of stuff going on. So Angela, Jan, Joe's, Sadie, some of you know her. And then all the community, all of you, you know, with your suggestions, emailing me topic suggestions. I do try to, I really do prefer email rather than the social media because I'm active on Twitter, Facebook, multiple pages on Facebook and Instagram. And I don't mind the odd, you know, communication here and there, but it's easier to just put it on the page or put it as a comment because I may not always check the direct messages. And I took the DM app off of my phone, so I only have it on the desktop now. So if some of you have been trying to DM me, just email me or put it on the Awakenings page or the Awakenings community page. Had some great input, great posts the other day, and people chiming in about the energies and what's going on right now. So I kind of want to address that. Oh, also let everybody know I'm right in the middle of doing my High Vibes program. A lot of you have asked, when is the core wounding clearing coming back? I call it Liberate. Thank you, Archer, for that. Because I was thinking, is it liberation, liberate your life? But it's liberate. It's liberate, 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 liberate your life. And it's getting to understanding, seeing, and releasing once and for all the core wounding and the core belief, as well as the conditioned response pattern or emotional stuck state that's connected to that wounding. And the reason we're able to get to it is because I do really deep regression work. So we go back. We go deep and we go back. So I like the combo of doing that and the High Vibes. But anyway, so I'll be bringing High Vibes back again. We do some cool stuff in there, bilateral stimulation, changing mindsets. We're creating new neural pathways. So I'm loving it, loving it, loving it. And, of course, so that's starting the Liberate Your Life is starting, I believe, the 22nd of this month. And then I am bringing back the psychic development and opening the channel on the 29th. And these are done in series. So I give you stuff to do, exercises, processes. There's some of them have, you know, I check in by email, voice note. Some of you I'm checking in by phone in the intuition development. So I love giving the support because we all need it. It helps. You know, we can't just do something once a month or once every few months. So people ask, can we please extend this and then do readings? You'll be reading, you'll be psychically tuning in the first session, the first teleworkshop session. So if you want to know more about that, go to soulplayground.life. It's also on eventbrite.com. Thank you, Tamara, for putting the link in. And, yeah, or you can always email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com and can send you some info as well. So, again, callers 347-539-5122 if you're feeling like you'd like to connect, share, give feedback or reading. So in alignment with High Vibes and also releasing the core belief, I'm going somewhere with this, you guys, okay? I've been doing my own cleanse and my own detox, and I do them every now and then, but this one's been much more deep and intense. And part of it, because I was really realizing you really can't cleanse your body without cleansing your mind. And you really can't cleanse your mind without cleansing the body. You know, we have little crutches. Mine was sugar. Not all the time, but a crutch. And it's sugar, whether it's pasta, wine. What else was I getting in my little mode with these wonderful little health food, quote unquote health food little? I don't even know what they're called. Let me see if I have the name, because I still have them in my fridge, but I'm just not eating them. These little kind of like healthy candy bars. What are they? Ocho. Anyway, a lot of peanuts and nuts. And anyway, I just found like I was like, there's got to be something underneath that I'm already processing a lot right now because these energies have been so intense. You know, a lot of delays, a lot of, you know, loss with the eclipses and rearranging of the inner psyche. But anyway, I just found that's, I think sometimes I love food. I think it's amazing. And I love cooking and I love sharing food with friends. And, having friends over for tea and snackies and this and that. But sometimes I feel like you have to take a step back and see, you know, is it about the connection and company or is it more about the food kind of thing? So anyway, I've been doing my own and realizing I'm back to my non-releasing the gluten and just juicing, you know, juicing a lot more. I put it on my Instagram, my little cleanse. Back on a lot of the super green stuff I was already doing, but I was doing the other stuff. So basically the cleanse is just cutting out a lot of stuff. And it really served me with doing the high vibes because we're doing a pattern interrupt. And so I felt like let's just interrupt the pattern of how you were eating, you know, how are you going through your life to have more space. So one of the things I find that's very helpful, and a lot of you I know, I've been getting emails from you, are really going through some challenging, some of you, some sickness, you know, cancer. There's a lot of stuff going on, some tough passages right now, a lot of uncertainty. And what I want to say is sometimes, especially if you're experiencing a lot of loss, whether it's, you know, loved one, spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, or you know, friends, you know, you're looking around and going, oh, I don't resonate with these people anymore, or a lot of people are out of my life, or there's been actual death, is to not cram up the space. And that's one of the reasons I decided, a lot of my world has been changing, I thought, you know what, it's to have more space. And it's the antithesis of what the ego wants. The ego doesn't like space. You know, it doesn't like space. It doesn't like, right? Let me not talk right now. Let me pause. Try doing that in a conversation. But the truth, in many ways, is in the space and is what we feel. The unfolding is in the void. And it's the male aspect of us, which is great, that wants to do and wants to separate out. However, it's in the space that what we need to know is revealed. It's in the gap. It's in the void. And so sometimes that gap and that void comes by conscious. Sometimes it's taken away, but I would say move with the cycle. So if there's a lot being let go of or you're having to let go, consciously let go. Let go of that activity. Let go of that food. Let go of what fills the space. And feel what's there, the raw emotion, you know. I also feel that a lot of times as humans, and some people are, you know, well-intended, but it gets you in a wrong path, is a lot of times we want to skip through things, or we want to hurry up. I see this as a shaman in the work that I've done with, you know, a sacred passing or sacred crossing, as a bereavement counseling, with working with, you know, death and dying, and, you know, people that are terminally ill and their family, you know, that they're on that road. And it's like, mostly it's the people, sometimes it's the people that are going through it, but a lot of times it's the people around, like, or hurry up, or you're still dealing with this, or this came up again for you, you know, or 5 years later, loss of a spouse, you haven't moved on. And in essence, we don't really ever move on. I mean, the completion or closure, as people call it, is getting to a managing or a coping, or it becomes a part of you or part of your life. Any of you that have gone through a lot of trauma, and, you know, and there's a new movement with this with post-traumatic stress disorder, is to, you can desensitize it or make it less, but it's not to make it go away. It becomes part of you. It informs you. Not part of you in a sense. It informs your life. It's not the true you, but it is something that you experience. Just like, you know, being a dancer, you hold yourself differently. You know, being a physicist, you're going to look at the world a certain way, right? A really great secretary or support person in that way is going to see what's missing. You know, what they're going to notice, oh, this will help you organize better. So we can't really undo what's been done, you know, what we've experienced. In my sense, is to bring it more in consciously. Sometimes it's celebrating it. Sometimes it's just simply acknowledging it and being okay with it. And the truth is, what I'm finding is when we go through traumatic situations, a lot of times we focus only on the traumatic, or we might have be happy or joyful within that, or feel a sense of peace. But then the egoic part of us says, well, what, well, this is bad. Well, this, you know, why I'm going through a hard time. So I would say a lot of you that are really challenged right now is ask yourself, how can I be all that I am, all that I experience, all that I feel, all that I think? And then you can start doing some shifting. Like in the high vibes, we have a lot of the worry thoughts, circular, a lot of that coming up first so people can get a handle on it. We do the pattern interrupt before we start encoding, before we start the conscious creation part. But it's not to deny, and part of the process, too, is taking the time, the sacred space to process or move through stuff. Because a big part of what we're doing here on this earth plane, in this amazing soul playground, it's very beautiful, loving, but challenging, uncertain, strange, bizarre, you could say horrible, and sometimes evil, whatever. Whatever. It's the mix. There's a mix because there's a mix of frequencies. There's a mix of expressions of the all that is in different forms. Some of you are on a different path, you know, where there is a lot of challenge. Maybe there are a lot of relationship issues. But you can get out of that by repatterning. You can get out of that, but it's also not to denigrate it. It's also not to put it down or feel yourself less than. There's some experience or expression that is moving through you on a soul level. Now, the wisdom part, when we're connected to our higher self, simply an alchemical process, as we awaken or become more aware, we realize that there's higher octaves or higher vibrational frequencies in expression. So we learn, we grow, we shift. We shift our mindset from something fixed into something open where there's more possibilities. If that's your path. So in many ways, it's recognize your path. If you're repeating the same pattern and you're aware of it and you don't like it, you don't want to do it anymore, then that's your cue. That's your cue that it's time to change. And that you have it within you to change it, to change the pattern. Because in many ways, we are the blueprint. We are that sequence, that Fibonacci sequence, right? We are that the flower of light. I'm trying to think of the other, the conch symbol, the spiral that is in everything. We express and experience through the pattern, but we are beyond the pattern. That's why when we do clearing, we do it the DNA matrix, but also the energetic matrix, because there's something before the pattern. Yeah, there's something before the belief. There's something for many of you, you know, if you past lives or other dimension or play. A lot of you, you know, I was talking to someone the other day, and they're saying, oh, but when you incarnate, you work on this issue, and you know, you say, I'm coming back and I'm doing this, and I'm doing, yeah, well, that's lower vibrational frequency, because when we're talking, but that's fine, that's true, we have to play in that realm. that there is a part that's learning this lesson. We come in, 3 to 5 lessons. Some people say only 3, 1 to 3 major. It depends. Some of them are sub lessons or learning experiences and ways to express an experience through that. But there's a part of all of us that's beyond that. And that's the energy to tap into when you're reformatting your life. So a lot of what's happening right now is that we are so getting, we're so getting rerouted, redirected. And I've talked about this before, but I think you all, I know I can see it a lot more clearly how it's unfolding or manifesting, the shape and form that it's taking. Is as we are changing the game, changing as a species of how we're doing this game, and it's interesting, a client of mine said, oh my God, I'm just realizing this is just such a game. It is. It's game sphere. It's game sphere technology. The game is less about being egoic and separated out. We still have that separated out, that individuation, right? We're still individuated. We're still unique beings. However, what is, and it is said to me that if we went on that path of focusing more on that and emphasizing that, we'd become extinct. So now what's being brought in is the merging aspect. And we have that if you look at the aspects to Neptune right now, and even Jupiter and Scorpio, it's the occult getting down deep. The Jupiter and Scorpio, people are, even I thought, oh my God, Jupiter and Scorpio, oh God, that's uplifting. Well, it's like dropping the anchor before it's put up. You ever seen on a big yacht, or ocean liner? It's dropping first to the depths before it gets wheeled up. So many of you, many of us, we're in the dropping. We're in the depths. And it's a further letting go. It's a relaxing into the feeling of the letting go unto that flow, that universal flow. But there's the aspect of you, the higher self, which I call the mediating intelligence that connects us to the innate intelligence of the all that is, to everything and everyone, the innate. It's like the zeitgeist of all times, not just what's contemporary or current. It's that the flow of what's happening, what is now coming in to be the new pattern. So it is a very confusing time because we can't make it happen. I was talking to one of my clients the other day, and she's a manifester, and she's being blocked. And I said, look, I've been blocked too. I'm a manifester. I'm like, and remember a couple of years ago, I said this would be happening, and the message was from that the higher self doesn't want us making mistakes. We're getting involved in things that's going to be difficult to get out of. Now, we are the higher self. It's that aspect of us that's guiding and directing and knows what's going on, that's always in touch with the pulse. The ohm, so some of it's being thwarted. Things have slowed down, even with all these retrogrades, and then we had Robert Wilkinson on, the great metaphysical astrologer, saying, the retrograde, it's slowing things down. It's delaying. Yes, it's frustrating. But it's because you have to remember a lot is going on. We don't necessarily see it right now. We're not seeing it in the denser physical form. It's not tangible, but many of us feel it. I mean, I can see so much that's etherically unfolding, and I'm getting hits, I'm getting messages. And again, this is not obviously in session, that's a whole different thing of the accuracy, but when you're being retrained or rerouted to live more this way, it's like before you could make something happen. In other words, you feel what's going to happen etherically, you could kind of set things up, right? We know, we've all done this. That's becoming more and more impossible as we feel that let go. That's the surrender, the letting go, so that higher directive can come through. And in many ways, what's happening is we're receiving more of the cosmic or micro aspect of us, the archetypal energy. We're seeing how we're living that out. That's part of the patterning, is that archetypal energy. So many of you are telling me, I feel like the fool. I keep getting the fool. We're going to have later on the program Robert Bonanno talking about the tarot, where it came from, and the archetypal energies of the tarot. This is why I feel like more and more people are opening up to that. I use it not just, I've been doing tarot, 30 years or so, but 25 years. And astrology and other, they all weave together, the tree of life. They're all this map. They're the map of the energies. They're the map, they're the weather map of what's coming up or what's, how are you going to be experiencing and expressing. You know, I also use a tarot in my practice, not just for tuning in or reading, whether for myself or other people, but as self-development. Because it is about the self-development. It is about the fall into matter, the coming into matter to know what matters. It is about the journey, you know. Of course, Joseph Campbell talked about that, and Carl Jung, you know, the hero's journey. We are the hero in our own life. But it can show us where are we stunted? What do we now need to integrate? So those of you that are major manifestors, you might be feeling, God, how come I'm not making it happen? You know, I can't get this going, or I can't get this job, or I'm putting the resumes out there, because you know how to do that already. Maybe you are the emperor. Maybe you have a lot of male energy. Let's just dial it down to masculine, feminine, or the divine masculine, divine feminine. Maybe you're adept at that, but it's about the divine feminine for you. Maybe it's about the merging and finding the flow. Maybe it's about connecting in to intuitively. Maybe it's about focusing more on love. Some of you may have been in those realms and you're finding yourself being pushed out, like, oh, I've got to respond. I've got to do this. So that's the soul, whether it's a relationship, it's the soul's call for rebalancing. But it's balanced expression here. I always like the soul is like this amazing container that contains everything. Everything and everyone, it's all in there. But it's how much do we allow to be expressed on this earth plane? Let's see. Tamara's saying, right, we're manifesting in subtler ways. It's energetic rather than only physical. Yes. Yes. Okay, Robert, you coming on at 12:45, 12:50. I see you in the chat. Let me just put that in. So, yes, it is the more subtle energy. That is the shift there. And it is how it, so in a way, it is absolutely necessary to learn. And that's why, meditation, getting in the meditative state, whatever, however, meditation is just the practice to get into that meditative state. Even with mindfulness, because eventually, I love mindfulness. I teach that. I've studied it for years and taught it agape and taught it, and I wrote a book on meditation. But however, that's still a practice. It's so that we can learn to shift, because it's all a shift in consciousness and awareness. So the more that we can shift, like Tammy is saying, connecting more to the subtle energy, which is one of the things I do a lot in my workshops, is how do you connect into the subtle? It's us. That subtle energy is us. So to be able to have faith, because you feel what's there etherically, you feel what's there subtly. And believe me, I don't know about all of you, but my little love, as much as I do this and live in this for my own private, life, I can't believe how much the loss, the cleanse for me of being able to make things happen or know what's going to happen or align to it to draw it in is that's the cleanse for me. You feel it etherically. You don't know the timing, but you feel it. You have to trust and have faith. And I'm starting to see manifestation, confirmations of that in more and more ways. And it's like, okay, I did feel that. I did see that coming. I did hear that message. And it exactly played out. One of my friends and dear clients was saying, my God, Michelle, you do this all the time for people and you're so accurate with your readings. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But it's much easier when you're objectively looking at something. It's either to do in session. It's easier for me to have that even about myself, or that faith, when I'm in session, whether healing session, working with someone, or just out of kirtan, or out of meditation, or in the before, or after the sound bath, But now, how do we hold that awareness and that connection consciously and live that way? So that is the next piece. So some of you that, again, that you feel, oh my God, I'm really being thwarted here, you know, or, you know, I'm having to live with less money, or, you know, I'm now moved, you know, somebody emailed me, they moved to this town and they hate it and they hate the job, but there's a reason. But what I want to say is be with those feelings of hate, or I don't like this, or something's wrong. Don't try to deny. Don't try to take the happy pill. Find ways to process it through, because this is also, even if and for sure with, you know, Saturn working through Capricorn of structure and that Jupiter in Scorpio that's saying the Neptunian aspect right now that's saying this focus on and integrate the spiritual. How do you bring it into your everyday living? This is why in some of my teleworkshops, and I'll share this with all of you, is when you get up, don't just do the same thing that you always do. Pause. What's coming from the higher directive? What's the inspiration? What's coming from God, your source energies, you, the higher aspect, is going to give you the message of what to do. So we'll be all being retrained to listen and feel those promptings, those nudges, and follow through, to live by that as much as you can. And you'll find that more gets done, and in a way that's actually better, that's more efficacious, that's more expedient, that's you know, better for all concerned. And we don't know, except on the other side, why, on the other side of after we've lived through it. So, yes, it's requiring radical honesty, radical trust. You know, trust of Tamara saying in the chat, you manifested no more lawn blow. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Oh, believe me, knock on wood, right? As far as manifesting parking space, let me tell you, it's a little, but you know what? Have fun with it and work those muscles. There's been some other things that I've seen that I got messages on that, they're kind of a little more critical. And remember, those of you that are trying to do this with people or situations that are involving people, you've got their, you know, this is not about, you can influence, but it's not about changing somebody's free will. So you have to wait for that opening or know that, okay, this is a possibility. I kind of knew that lawn blower could be no more, you know. I don't want to get rid of the person doing it and the blower, but the time. But I let it go. You know, I thought, oh, God, you know, and that's the key. It's in the letting go to allow the energy to move. Okay, One Radiance in the chat is saying, living day to day in the meditative awareness of being. Yes. The essence that is seeing and hearing beyond the thinking or sense of identity in the mind. Yes. That's exactly what it is the sense of the identity. You know, we kind of are here to play with identity, but if the more that we're playing with identity, or identifying, over-identifying with identity, it blocks our possibilities. It blocks our unfolding. So this is why, you know, if you can reframe labeling or titles to what you like to do, it's not you. It's how you're functioning. It's what you like to do. It's an activity or something that you like to do, but it's not you. I think that's the key, that it's, you know, because when you're over-identifying with what you're doing or what is that label, now you're having to come through a construct, what we call a mental construct. You know, even as I'm sharing with you and I'm sitting here, I just come to you. I don't know. You can call me a host. I don't know. You can call me a lot of things. I don't know. I'm not even thinking anymore about the names or what I'm, you know, doing. And it's interesting. I feel like, in a way, the outer world or the more mainstream had to catch up to this. Because I did have this idea in the late 90s, I believe, maybe 97, 98. And I tried doing that. I tried, especially with the work that I did. And people were like, oh, I didn't understand it, or you've got to explain more. You know, there was an explaining. But I feel that right now, because so much is by resonance and so much is out there, for sure, on the internet, that people get the idea. They get the idea. You know, back in the day when we had, you know, some people still do, but business cards. I heard something funny the other day. I don't have a business card. I have a website. That's how it is. Everybody's got a web. But, you know, it's even the work that I do, what I share, what I am doing of service, I remember back in the day, I had to write so much down. There would be so much explanation. And Jen, who does my design work and great designer and done my websites, said, "Why are you putting so much?" I said, "Because I don't want to have to go through the spiel so that people can read it." Now it's, you know, it's less. So what does that say? That says to all of us, it is about simplifying now. You know, I always say we're complex beings, very complex. We're layered, and our experiences are very layered. What we think is horrible ends up being good or great. What's good or great has a horrible thing in it. Or we're having an amazing time, but there's some patches in there that are horrible. There's horrible time, and then there's some amazing something in the middle, a jewel. You know, and the Vedantas talk a lot about this, in the Hindu philosophy and the sacred scriptures. They talk a lot about that. The Buddhists talk a lot about that. The I Ching is based on this. So we have that wisdom information to guide us. And I feel just like when Radiance put in the chat, it's now more and more about living it. It's not just, oh, when I think about it, or now I have to go meditate. And no, it's like, shift into it. This is you. How do you shift into that? Apply that. Do it, you know. So it's just, we're becoming, I feel, more tactile, more kinesthetic. And I feel that's always been there, as obviously as divine human beings or star seeds having this, you know, indigo, whatever you want to say, spiritual beings having this experience, being in the earth suit, right? But now it's requiring it. It's the gut knowing that's guiding and directing you. It's that inner knowing. It's that intuition. But it's more about feeling, because it's resonance. It's more about feeling safe to feel your way through your experiences. You know, almost in a sense that the ego, the persona, is becoming blind or blinded so that we can see with the divine eyes. We can see and feel with the heart. We're touched and seen by the heart. Even if you have to make some tough decisions. Some of you, you know, and you've called in, like, oh, this relationship is really unhealthy. So then, but you can still know that there was love there. No matter how horrible, there was still some form of love. So you don't discount everything. I feel that's a big part of this process, is don't discount the whole experience. There is something loving there. There is something life-enhancing. Even if you choose not to be with that person anymore or in that situation, if you've grown out of it, you've grown out of that little sandbox, you're in a bigger one, you know. You're taking the whole beach now and not a little sandbox. Still, there was something there that you received, that you gave and that you received. And my understanding from the guides is as soon as we start acknowledging that, some people might call that forgiveness, whether to self or others, but as soon as you start acknowledging that, it's the freedom of the energy. The energy, you get that download, you get that upload, you know. You get it from the earth, you get revitalized, the energy starts moving again. Yeah, that was horrible. Oh, my God. But, however, this also happened. So see where you can find those nuggets right now. And also, as I always say, get your support. Some of you that are listening to this now that you said that you'd be listening today. This is for all of you, but especially some of you that have emailed and messaged. It's, we're all in this together. I know we all say this, and we're handling it in different ways. One way that is, I feel, crucial and critical for everyone is the ability to reach out, to pause, to allow the space. Don't try to cram stuff in the space right now. If you're having that loss and you're doing as much as you can, take a little break. Take a break. One Radiance is saying, when one releases relaxes into the self-awareness of being, then life unfolds with a sense of grace. Yes, the grace comes in. I had that the other day, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to ask for that, or I'm going to relax into that. I haven't asked for that in a while. Yes, the grace where you're lifted up. So, but it does require a pause. It does require a slowing down or a stopping, a pausing. It does require taking the time to connect into that part. You know, it's going to become, it is going to be second nature. Just wait till Pluto goes into Aquarius, okay? It is, you know, and Saturn, you know, at the end of this year, November 3rd or 4th, I believe, when Saturn goes into Sagittarius, it's going to be anchoring some of this hard, heavy lifting work we've done, this emotional, the losses, the philosophical, the beliefs, that's going to start being restructured. I suppose right now we're working with institutions and, you know, systems. So there is going to be this lightening up, you know, we're kind of carrying big boulders or water hoses right now, or some of us are by the side of the road waiting, going, I feel that what's happening, okay? What can you do or not do in the space? I always say reach out to friends and family, reach out to love, you know, allow the space and savor it and look around and go, wow, feels odd, feels weird, this space I have. Wow, I've got all this space. See, again, your creations are going to come in the space. They're going to come in the void. It is the divine mother, the womb. We've been taught to be afraid of the black, the negrita madre, the dark mother, the black mother, the black hole. You know, and so there's been so much about don't have the black, don't have the void, don't have the space, don't have the extra time, fill it, do. So yeah, we're here to do, we're here to express. But what we need to do is come bubbling out of the void, whether it's the silence in the mind where the flash of insight comes. Daydream. I suggest a lot of you to daydream. Daydream. Set up the time. Meditate, daydream. Let yourself lie around a little bit. Go for a mindless kind of walk or a hike where you're not trying to get anywhere or achieve anything. And that's when it comes in, through the feeling, through the flashes of insight. That's where the guidance comes in. So the more you're comfortable with the space or the void, the more you're going to feel the guidance. It's there. The signs are there. The symbols are there. Now, as we all begin to recognize it more and more and live from that, it will only get stronger and there'll be less and less fear of that space. All right, let's see if we can get the caller. 408-828. Hi, you're on air. You're on Awakenings. Hello.
Hi, I'm Ellen.
Hi, Ellen. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so glad I got through.
Me too.
This is my first time trying to get through for sure, actually.
Oh, great. Great.
Thank you for your program.
Do you have a question or comment? Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
I love doing it. I mean, it's like, love connecting with everyone.
Thank you.
So
my question is, I've had a lot of transitions the last couple of years, and I've had some struggles at work, and I have now gone to part-time, and I am now starting my private practice again, and so it's been really slow, and I know that you just said, I've been hearing this,
you said
all the retrograde
yes.
and stuff. So I'm just wondering if you have any sense on what's going on with my private practice at this point and if it's the right direction for me.
Oh, no, it's for sure the right direction. It does show going part-time and started, it was good. Right when you said I went part-time, I heard this, yay, good. Yeah, it says you're building. Now, the one thing I keep hearing, and they say make it more fun. Your guide's coming in.
Okay.
Writing and blogging and sharing more of what you do. I want to say look for openings probably mid to end of October, so it's not that far off. But I feel overall by, let's see, when is the practice going to be? Well, yeah, Scorpio time. So end of October, November, things are picking up more. And I want to say, I keep hearing February also. So I feel like you're going to notice an uptick or, you know, more people, but something that you're going to be doing the first of the year. I don't know if it's classes or workshops or talks or you're blogging more or you're doing art. I don't know. There's something of that energy that's going to bring more people to know of you and to work with you.
Okay.
So right now I feel like you're going to get a little uptick. That's the word I keep hearing. I don't know what that meant. I was going to say upsurge. I said, no, uptick,
okay.
Uptick. I said, okay. An uptick. So we're talking end of October, November. And then something, I feel around the holiday time, there's some shift that you go through. And I can hear you saying, you know, I'm just going to start doing this, or I'm also going to do this. And it does show bringing a lot more abundance, you know, prosperity, because I feel you have a lot of abundance already, but the prosperity aspect.
Yes.
Beginning of next year. Yeah.
Awesome. I had a sense myself something was going to shift in October, November, but I just wasn't sure.
Ah, good. So confirmation. Love it.
Yes, for sure.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
About blogging too.
Oh, well, then that's what it is. There it is. Yeah. Yeah, I feel either someone's, it's going to start taking off, or someone reads something and then tells someone else, or either just, it feels like it's a kind of, what are they telling me? A generating, extending out the expansion.
Hmm.
So if you thought about the blogging, then yeah, listen to your intuition. Yeah, follow through on that. Definitely.
Great.
Definitely,
thank you so
definitely.
Much.
You're so welcome. Much peace.
Take care.
Oh, I love that when you just get the confirmation. I love it. There was the confirmation there. Yes. Yeah. So see, sometimes we get that. We get a little sign or we get a little message, do this or do that. You know, last or beginning of this year, I started doing poetry readings. And, you know, who knows what that's going to go. But I love it because I write poetry and was published in a couple books. You're in my, you know, middle school to teenage years and college. I was in a couple anthologies. But I don't know what it's going, but it's something, it's freeing the soul. See, the soul likes to do things that aren't necessarily, as we would say, going anywhere. There may or may not be a result. It's just about the experience and the expression. So, okay, it's time for our second half of the program right now. And we have with us Robert Bonomo, and he is got a great documentary out. I started watching some of it. It's just, oh my God, just chock full of rich historical data and insight, and really helps to traverse and travail the beginnings of the tarot and how it has become more a part of the populace over the centuries. So let us welcome Robert to the program. But I'm not seeing you now. Okay. That is interesting. Robert, what can you give me your number? Because let's see, 608, I'm not seeing. There we are. Okay. Robert, welcome.
Oh,
looking for your
thanks
Skype.
A lot.
Yeah. So well, you've got this great documentary, The Exploration of the Major Arcana of the Tarot. Pretty amazing. So far, I've got to dive into it further. Pretty amazing. So let us, people can find it by going, you've got your YouTube channel, I know, Robert Bonomo, Cactus Land, right? That's
right. And they could just type into YouTube the 21 Faces of God, and it'll come up.
21 Faces. Okay, 21 Faces. Okay. Love that. Okay, good. Very insightful. I think for any reader, an artist too, I have some that are, you know, working with those sacred kind of images. I'd love to know how you got to where you're at to take on something like this. I mean, this is quite a feat. It's quite impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very in-depth. Yeah, very in-depth. How long did it take you, by the way, before we get to my – I've got that question kind of popped out.
Yeah, it took me a little bit more than 2 years. A little bit more than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
In the middle, there was a bit of a break, and I got a bit stuck when I started doing the cards, when I started with the Fool. And,
okay.
But yeah, that's about every day 2 years. So it's been a lot of work.
Wow. Yeah, it's fascinating. So what brought you to the tarot and also the path of esoteric path, I would say? Is this a calling that you've had since how did you come to this path?
Mm-hmm.
And to the tarot actually too? Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say when I was about 16 or 17, I started to have those kind of in those Jungian terms, those big dreams, like these big apocalyptic dreams. And
mm-hmm.
And then a friend of mine gave me a bunch of mushrooms, and that just – I had
yeah.
one of those where the whole thing just opened up. So one of those really beautiful sort of spiritual experiences. And then later on in life, I got really involved in Zen. And I realized that Zen thing I was looking for, I actually already had it, you know? So that was definitely, that was, and so I've always written novels. I've written 4 novels. And the last novel I wrote, I was looking for a structure behind the novel. And I had always played around with the tarot cards, but I'd never taken them seriously. So I sat down and I said, wow, the major arcana, there's 22. This is a great structure for my novel. This can give me the idea for each chapter. And
mm-hmm.
But then I thought it would be easy. You know, I could say, just take these 22 cards and it took me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. It wasn't. It was about, that was about 10 years ago. So so I just got deeper.
Deeper into it. But now, how did you go from what you were writing before to the
mm-hmm.
the tarot? I mean, how did you come across the tarot and say, well, this, you know, let's explore this?
Because I had written a lot on politics, economics, these sorts
mm-hmm.
of things, and I really got tired of it because it's always, you always seem like you're in a fight, you know? And so I was
mm-hmm.
trying to get out
so
of
true.
That. And so
mm-hmm.
I wanted to write a novel that was more esoteric. And so I was trying to get away from the politics and all that stuff that's going on and get into a place where I didn't have that constant battle, no? So that was
mm-hmm.
that was kind of what pushed me in. And then it just kept going. Because to understand the tarot, you have to understand astrology. So I started learning astrology.
Yeah.
Then I got really into alchemy. I was very interested in Jung all my life. But the last books of Jung – I didn't understand those, I'd say, to my early 40s. No, like
mm-hmm.
The Mysterium and Aeon, those books. And I finally got
mm-hmm.
them. And then I started to understand alchemy. And then the tarot clicked in. And it all just began to go click, 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 click. It was a great experience.
Yeah. I love both of those tools and paths. And you're so right. They're so intertwined, as well as with the Tree of Life. Numerology,
right.
It all seems to kind of fit together, this kind of cosmic map or grid. I do have a question for you, though. I'm fascinated. Have you
mm-hmm.
ever looked at what is happening at any given time, you could do currently right now, politically,
mm-hmm.
as to what's happening archetypally, if you're looking at the tarot, what is being expressed or worked through?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had it was really interesting. I got really stuck on the Fool, and I was listening to there's a scholar, Lewis Hyde, who's written a lot about the trickster motif, you know? And I realized that this whole moment we're in, this I don't want to get political, but we all know the moment we're in.
Yeah.
And
exactly. That's good enough. Everybody knows. Yeah, but I want to die.
Everybody knows.
You're right.
And that trickster motif right now in our world, especially the North American world, is crucial. It's It's somebody, it's at that thing where everything is getting turned upside down. And we're starting to see behind, and all that was hidden and taboo, people are starting to point out. And that's why I think we need to take this as a positive, because it's like a cleansing, you know?
Yes.
And
yes,
if there's someone out there that we, and think about it this way, if there's somebody out there that a lot of people don't like, think of that person as Drano. You know, Drano sometimes is very important. No, we need it sometimes, right?
We need it, yes. Well, one of the things, and I want to get your take on this, there's a couple things. One is thought kind of an esoteric philosophy or studying, you know, divination or the path of the sacred path, the unseen, is that every new level there is the fool. The fool comes in because you have to trust,
yes,
have faith, right?
Right.
And then the other thing I want to get your take on is because the magician is also, and I don't know if you through your studies saw this, I mean, I think it was Rider-Waite, one of them, the idea of the white magician, the black magician, and then the mixture. And that, because the magician obviously is the great, can be the trickster, you know, Mercury, Gemini, ruled by Gemini. So being fooled, you know, by, is it sleight of hand magic or is it real magic of genuine charisma coming from light? I don't know if you can speak on that. Any thoughts you have about that magician energy? So I feel like that's a lot up, but a lot of people are duped by the heyoka or the trickster right now. They're you know, with the cult of personality, the glamour realm, you know, the idea too of, you know, like film, TV, you know, now we have beyond Photoshop now. You've got apps that can, you know, filter and highlighting, right? So we're playing in these realms, right, of changing our reality and what do we believe, of, you know, magic, believe it, you know. But then also there's this shadow side or this undercurrent that can also be turned to use against us if we're not aware, because we could be believing in magic that's, you know, detrimental or not real magic.
And we should be very careful when we bring any kind of ethics or even morality to the esoteric path, because when you reach a certain point and, you know, where is the good and bad? But when we look at the magician, think about Mercury. No, it's not a solid and it's not a liquid. And it has that state. It's sort of that in-between state. So the magic of the magician, like I say in the film, the magician takes the fool and he cooks him. And out of the fool, after the magician, emerges the two masculine aspects in the Hierophant and the Emperor, and the two feminine aspects in the Empress and the High Priestess. So he cooks them and he breaks them up into the four elements. You know?
We're being cooked.
We're being cooked. Exactly. But that's exactly what's happening to us now. All of this garbage is getting burned away, and we're starting to see the truth. And remember, no matter what side you're on, there's a load of garbage. There's a load of garbage.
Yeah.
So it's got to get burned. Got to get burned.
Yeah. But it has. But I find it interesting. It has to come up. There has to be this agitation or instigation or disruption or pattern disrupt, you know, to bring it up to the surface. I mean, even if you look at physical healing, that happens, you know, the boil, you know, you've got to.
Right.
So that's right.
Exactly. That's exactly it. It's just like a boil. The boil right now, the boil is enormous.
Yeah, exactly. Pop the boil.
That's what everyone wants to do. Pop it.
I know. But it reminds me too, anybody, you know, if you've had whatever the zits or what is spots, I guess in the Europe they call them spots or zits, but but the dermatologist would always say, or you know, whoever's beautician or whatever is like, or esthetician, don't pop it. Don't, it'll scar. It has its own natural healing process, right?
Right.
And you're just waiting. You just want to pop it. You know, you just want to lance it, whatever, you know.
And people that want to pop it, and it just
bad.
Won't pop, no?
That's right. You trust, right, at a certain point, blemish. It's got it. There's no popping. It doesn't go away. You just get those little marks on your face. That's so true.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, gosh, Robert. So where should we dive? There's so much. I mean, the film, everybody really has to go take a peek at it. Is, first of all, what are you wanting to obviously, this is a creation of love because it's so in-depth.
Yeah.
What are you hoping for or intending for this film at this time? Which, by the way, just a little caveat here, I do feel it's so timely because more and more people are waking up to the whole idea of their own self unfolding or knowledge,
right.
You know, and looking for tools, how do I navigate? I think people are looking for their own inner GPS, and which tarot is fantastic for that. But what is your intention? How do you feel this can help, or what's a good way for people to come to the film?
Yeah. Because the truth is I'm not selling anything. So this is something I did for 2 years and it's free. So it's just something I felt like I had to do. It was almost like a calling. So what I really, really want to do is with the tarot is I'm convinced that in the tarot, there's tarot for divination, and that's great, and I do that a lot. But this film is not mm-hmm. about that. This film is about the path. And I think especially in Western culture, we're at a moment where we're at a loss for myth. We've lost our myths.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost all of them. And as you scratch the surface, you can find these old myths that can really guide us. They really can. Like in the film, I talk about, just look at the days of the week. No, those are 7 planets.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even think about that. So I really wanted to show that in the tarot, there is a path and there is a message. And it can show us one example. Let me just give you one example. If we look at the Hangman and the Death card, you know? First, you get that turned upside down feeling where everything is just, everything you believe is what you thought was black is now white, what you thought was good was now bad. Your life gets turned upside down. And then after that comes the Death card. You die. Your old self dies.
Yeah.
And something begins to reemerge. So the cards, that's what I try and do in the film, is just show that narrative arc.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think it can help people because we need a myth, and we're living mythless.
Yes.
And when we do that, these corporations will come in and they will give you myths to live by, which is spend all your money on things you don't need and live a mindless life taking care of these multi-gazillionaires, you know? And that's what we need to go back to live for ourselves, for us, not for them.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And there's a reason, Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, there are, you look at the commercials, they're archetypes.
Oh, my God. Right.
And or the steps to getting there, or, are you Queen of Cuppy? Are you the swords, Are you, and I think, tell me what you think, because I, like you as well, use it a lot for self-development, looking and seeing where somebody's at or what energy to integrate or align to. So, I totally get you, with that. What do you feel, during these times, and that's why I said how people can come to it, would help people? I mean, is it maybe getting a deck of cards and then just seeing intuitively, where am I at right now? What would be a good starting point?
You mean to, kind of get into the cards or get into the whole big picture?
Well, get into the cards, Well, at least I feel like as a tool, because I feel that I agree with you with the navigation. I feel people get lost, and I do feel we do these archetypal energies, whatever they're cosmologically us. They do just come through us or descend on it, however you want to look at it. And when you're in that, that's it. I mean, when you are having death or I've had the Hangman for on and off for so long. I understand that. It is what it is. There's some things
it's not fun.
Yeah. New perspectives. You can say, it's great on the other side, but what would be an entry point, I feel, for people?
Yeah, that's a great
just
question.
On a simple
and
level.
That's one of the reasons I made this film, because when I wrote that novel, I had to understand the tarot. And there was a great moment when I was looking at the tarot, and I knew a little bit about astrology, but I never really got into it. And I realized if I want to understand these cards, I've got to learn all that stuff about the houses and the aspects. And I didn't really want to do it, but the cards kind of pushed me in. So that's why I think if you buy it, I would buy a Rider-Waite deck because it's, there's so much written about it and it's very easy to memorize. And by beginning with the major arcana, so start, don't worry about the minor, start with the 22 major arcana. You can watch my film, I think would really help you understand it. And there's tons of books out there that just lots of free resources. And yes, start with the major arcana and put them in order. So put them in order. And I like to make three rows of seven. So the material plane from the magician to the chariot, the psychic plane from strength to temperance, and then the spiritual plane from the devil to the world. No? And put them in those levels, and you can begin to see the body, the soul, and the spirit. And you begin to integrate those archetypes. You know? I think that's a great way to begin.
I like that. I like that. That's great. And so would somebody then just see where they're feeling that they're at once it's laid out?
Yeah, we have to. I think you have to be a little bit careful about that because we're all, because that's why I say the fool is us. He's sort of the microcosm.
Yes.
And the 21 other cards are sort of the macrocosm, you know, the major archetypes. And all of those archetypes are reflected in us. But when you go through, you can find where you're stuck. There'll be a card that you can't get. You can't understand it. And then focus on that card. What does that card mean? And really kind of think about it. Use all the possibility. You can use the astrological references, the elemental references, whatever you want to use. But like you say, it'll help you find where you're stuck. It's a little bit like in that Jungian idea of the four functions, thinking, feeling, sensitive, and intuitive.
Yes.
The one that you feel completely out of control with, that's the one that's not your, that's the opposite of your dominant function. No, that's the underdeveloped function. Mm-hmm. Like for me, for example, it's the emotional part. Thinking, I'm great, but emotionally, I get nervous. Mm-hmm. So I always have to work on that emotional part. No? So in the cards can help you that way too.
I like that. I kind of see them as like a passage. You're going through a passage of what you either, like you said, either have not enough of or too much of. There's some kind of awareness and rebalancing that's, and it's upon you, you know, to how do you, whatever, integrate that, heal from that. But that, that is the passage or what the energy that you're going through. So let's talk a little bit. There's been, you know, some different schools of thought of where the tarot, I mean, I'd heard like there was tarot readings and then it went to, I don't know, 14th, 15th century into playing cards to kind of hide the tarot, the divination aspect. Could you speak to that? Because there's a lot of people a lot of times that wonder, well, where, first of all, where did it come from and why do we resonate so much with it? Why are we drawn to these images to help us, basically?
Yeah, so I'll give you the kind of the real quick story. So the Mamluks were, they ruled Egypt. They were sort of a warrior ruling class. And they had a deck that was without the major arcana. And that was just a, it was a playing card deck, very similar to the playing cards we use today, without the major arcana.
Okay.
And it was a gambling game. Now, those cards moved into Europe in probably the beginning of the 1300s, no? And in Europe, it became a game. It was a very popular game in Italy, say, in the 14th century. And then somebody Yeah, it's like it's actually the modern day equivalent would be closer to bridge.
Oh,
it's a little bit like a bridge game. And the trump cards, the 22 major arcana, trumped the minors. So they were higher level cards. And so, as an addition to the game, they took 21 major arcana plus the fool and made these as the higher trumps, the cards that would trump the lower cards. And now this is where all the mystery comes in. Where did these cards emerge? My feeling is what they did was they took the 22 most potent, powerful archetypes of medieval Europe and put them in order. And they put them in order, and that's why they resonate, because they wanted these to be – these are the higher-level cards, the cards above the lower cards. So if you take the 21 or 22 most important archetypes and put them in order, it really, really resonates with us, because from a Platonic point of view, a lot of people want to say, well, they have to come from Egypt or they have to come from wherever. But remember, in a Platonic point of view, these forms are always with us, and they come back again and again in film and art and cards. Yeah, they keep coming back. So you don't need to find the lineage. It's just the fact that someone took them, really those classic, potent archetypal forms, and just put them in a collection and in order. And they and there was something magical about it that it just clicked, like a great work of art that just touches us, no? And they just they just arrive, they reach us.
But now, Robert, but were they used early on in divination? Because there's, and then did they have to go underground? Or are you saying that they were playing cards to begin with, and then the divination or the archetypal aspect of them, let's say the, you know, the self-help and archetypal aspect and divination came later?
Yeah, I mean, all of the academic studies that have really looked into this, initially they were just a card game. And divination probably began in the 17th century, but the real focus on the cards as an esoteric path really didn't begin until the 19th century. You know, the 18th and 19th century, that's when it really began to build up. That's when it began to kind of develop. But I just want to make clear, that doesn't take away from the force of these archetypes. Because, because Michelle, you do divination. You can do my grandmother did divination with tea leaves. It didn't matter. It doesn't matter what you use.
I know. It's true.
You can
tea leaves, I've done coffee leaves, tea leaves. No. And you know what? Even the like if you look at the I Ching, even the way numbers or how many people in a room or object, anything could be read, whether energetically or through some kind of. So I wonder why they, what the shift is, or why that it became this. Like, what was the awareness that let's use this for this now, or we see this replaying, whether Egypt or Babylonia, Mesopotamia, you know, that this, these archetypal energies. And I agree with you. They just keep recycling. They just come through.
Right.
They're in everything. They're reflected in everything.
Everywhere. They are us.
Everywhere.
And we are them. I think that's the really key.
Okay.
When you look at the world in an enchanted way, you see that it's all a reflection. It's a reflection of something, no?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a great psychologist, Edinger, who said when you see the outer world in a primitive way, that's superstition. When you see the inner world in a primitive way, that's wisdom. And that's really true. You know, it's that reflection. One reflects on the other. Which one is real? Good question. No? We should be careful when we're trying to answer. Some questions are best just kind of left there, and that's kind of one of them.
What?
Which one is real?
Which one is real? Yeah. Well, I think it depends which way you're looking, right? What's your beliefs? Now, what do you think? Now, because you're saying, which I agree, that they keep playing out. They are us. Do you find that the meanings get updated, or do we need to update them? Like, if you look at
Yes. That's a great question. That's a fabulous question. And it's something that I've kind of fought with internally. Like, for example, I like the Rider-Waite deck, but I'm not particularly crazy about the Crowley deck. And but I love that deck, and that deck works for them. So I think this is one of these questions where it kind of works both ways. I think it's important. Like, let's go back. Let's take it from astrology, for example. You have to know the classic Hellenistic astrology first. Then you can go off in all of these new directions, but you got to have that base. If you don't have that base, you don't understand it. And I think with the cards, it's that way too. As long as you understand the initial archetypes, I mean, these go back to Plato, like the chariot. That's the allegory of the chariot from Plato. I mean, this stuff is old. So it's important to understand the original one. And then I think, like you say, they get turned around. Like, for example, gender is very important in the cards. But not gender in man-woman. These are archetypes, the universe, the duality of the moon and the sun. And a lot of people get confused with that, and I think it turns them off. So that's why sometimes it's good to have the modern decks that kind of work in new ideas about gender. You know what I mean? It helps people not reject them. So yeah, I think it's not a bad idea that there's. But don't you think sometimes there are too many new decks? It's like everybody and their brother has a deck. No,
I agree with you. When I teach, you know, tarot, and I do require people to start with the Rider-Waite. I have them read a lot of different books, but I agree with you. I feel if you don't understand, it's like when I first started studying the I Ching, I had some books that, you know, I could really misinterpret. I mean, like pigs flying, this and that, you know, you're always going to skew it to where it supports your point of view, right? As an ego, this must be, till I dug deeper, and I was giving this book the guide to the I Ching, and we actually had the Carol K. Anthony, the author, at one point on our show, and then it was like straight up like hitting you where the, you know, like oh that influence coming in isn't another person, it's me, it's my ego, you know. So yeah, I love that confirmation that you're saying. So I think once you have Then go off and integrate different mother piece. I mean, there's all these, so you can get these pieces, but until you have that really strong working foundation of the archetypal imagery and energy, and I see it with people reading, especially, you know, certain people that, I don't like that, it's so this or that patriarchal. I'm like, but you are working within the patriarchal also system. You have that within you. So you got to understand that before you can be, right, you can be space goddess. You know, I only want the alien deck where I'm the space goddess. It's like, okay, well, that's not exactly what you're living on the earth right now. So,
And I really think that studying this, and I hope my film can help people with this, is to disconnect gender from physical gender because it's completely different.
Okay.
It's absolutely different.
Okay.
When we talk about that cosmic polarity of day and night, feminine, masculine, we're not talking about it as a man and a woman. These are all we have those four, we have those energies in us, all of us. And so we have to be careful, because today it's gotten very confusing this way, and you don't, because we have to respect people's identity, their physical identity. But we don't want to discard all of this ancient knowledge just because it uses language that maybe, you know, some people get a little nervous around, you know?
Right. So would that be the updating then, is how we're looking at gender? Would that be maybe the piece? And does that come up in do you explain that in your video?
No, I don't. I stick to the classical, very sort of, traditional ideas in the film, because I didn't want to confuse people. So I wanted to make it clear when I was talking about the Empress, we're talking about Venus. Now, you could express Venus through a man. Of course you could. No, all men have that Venus energy, right? But if I started mixing and matching, I think I was afraid it would get too, I wanted to give them like the hard stuff, the whiskey.
Right.
Each one. And then they can begin to mix and match and, themselves.
But I think that's so important, especially now where there's like so many decks. Some of them I've actually, the meanings are so kind of misinformed. I've had people study, and I'm like, you really, I even have certain decks that do that. I won't name names, but I've said that meaning is going to just, it's so off. It's so off base. So I think if, yeah, I think if people have the basics, then you're kind of intuiting, or you're getting the message perhaps beyond the preferences of the ego.
Right.
I think you're able to be more objective, you know. Now, where does alchemy? I found that fascinating. You mentioned it here. You mentioned it in your film.
Mm-hmm.
Where does alchemy come in here?
Oh, alchemy is absolutely crucial, because when the cards emerge, say the 13th, 14th century, that's when the first alchemic texts begin, from the Alexandrian period, the Hellenistic period, begin to get translated again and brought back into Europe. And at this time, you get the first Kabbalistic texts in medieval Spain, and so for some of the first magical texts. So it's all coming in at the same time. And I'm convinced, and in my film, I try and make the case, that whoever created the first deck, the first major arcana, was deeply mm-hmm. knowledgeable about alchemy. And I show the pictures together from the same period. There's definitely alchemy is death, because you know those alchemic prints, you know, where they have like 20 prints and it shows a series of images. Those there
right.
was def- I think. Now I can't academically go back and show the sources, but I think from an artistic point of view, you can see the references. So I really think alchemy,
right.
there's alchemy in the deck. I believe that. Mm-hmm. I can't prove it, though. I can't prove it, but I believe it.
Right, right. Well, it seems like even when you said, like, with Mercury, and that there is this whole idea, especially with the magician, and it's carried through, of making the less ideal, more ideal, you know, getting into that conscious mm-hmm. creation. You start recognizing what you have, even like strength. I don't know what the temperance, you know, even.
Right, right.
Tempering. Right. It's, yeah, I found that fascinating to bring that in. And you see it all the way through, I guess is what I'm hearing. You're seeing the alchemical process
yeah.
all the way through the major arcana.
I see it. And actually, one card for me is one of the most alchemic cards is the Tower, because that's where everything just gets collapsed and completely burned. And I do the section on the Tower. There's no speaking. And I just show build. I use Fight Club, scenes from Fight Club. Those build at the end of
right.
Fight Club with the buildings collapsing. And then, no, it's. I think that's one of the most interesting interpretations I came up with, because it's pure alchemy, and the Tower
yeah.
is pure alchemy. But you remember, in alchemy
yeah.
you have to die
yes
in alchemy,
that crumble. And I find it interesting, I know your take on this. I have found the Tower, because usually I mean death and death card, but I think that's getting less, but the Tower totally freaks people out. And
oh yeah.
I have found that a lot of times the Tower seems to be more of an inner process. I mean, it could be outer too, things, you know, crumbling and this and that.
Uh-huh.
Could you speak to that? What is your sense of that, and from your experience and
yeah,
as well as research?
I totally 100% agree with you, because when I do readings and I get the Tower, I don't see it as, oh, your marriage is going to break up or your business is going to... No, it's like everything that you believed. Now, remember,
mm-hmm.
this is an interesting way to look at the Tower. The opposite Tower of the card is the Hierophant. So if you put them in order, the opposite,
oh, okay.
the opposite card of the Tower is the Hierophant. Ouspensky wrote a small book on the Tarot that's fabulous. You can find it on the internet for free, and he discusses
what?
These opposites.
Okay.
So all
oh,
that
okay.
you
what's
believe
his, what's the name?
Is dogma.
Real quick.
Oh, you know, if you just put in Google Ouspensky Tower, I'm sorry, Ouspensky
okay.
Tarot.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll come up,
okay.
and it's free.
I don't know who that is
it's
now.
A PDF out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And
okay,
the
so
Tower.
So you're saying that the opposite to the Hierophant.
Yeah, and if you think of the Tower, I think of it as this, of a deeply religious, let's take a deeply Christian, say traditional Christian person, who all of a sudden realizes, or he stops believing that Jesus actually died and rose from the dead. that's the tower. How do you deal with that? Does it completely destroy you, or do you eventually come up and you be eventually you might continue to be a Christian, but in a different way? But that dark night of the soul of, oh my God, this is, it's a myth. It's not real. It's not historic. That can crush a person. Yeah. And that crushing feeling, that's the tower.
Yeah.
That's the tower.
Yeah. I've had, I've had in my readings anywhere from on the low 7 to 8 to up to 11 major arcana in my readings.
Wow.
Like my Celtic cross has had 7 to 8 in a Celtic. Yeah. So
that's
I'm going
crazy.
Through major change. And tarot has the tower has been some of it. But I'm glad that you speak on that and say that it is really this inner, because again, and what would you say with that? The visceral reactions that we have, like the death card coming up, or the, you know, the tower, you know, people seeing that.
The devil.
Or the devil. That's another. People. Oh, speak of the devil. Oh, my God. Okay. I want to know about the visceral reaction. And the thing of the devil, how to get a handle on the devil. There's so many different ways to look at that archetypal energy and passage.
I focus very much on the shadow. So if you think of the devil as guarding, he's guarding the path to the higher realm, that higher spiritual realm. We all have shadows, and the devil is that shadow. When you meet a person and you get this visceral feeling that this person is evil, there's two possibilities. One, it's very instinctual. It's your stomach, and your stomach's telling you, get away, this person is evil. But more likely, you're seeing yourself, and a part of that yourself that is just wretched, horrible, violent, sexual, all those things that we try and subdue, you've got to come to terms with them. And I say in the film, you don't have to become a saint. You don't have to, you know, stop chasing women and stop drinking, but you've got to realize that's who you are. No?
Right, archetype. It's Pan. It's the Pan energy. It's also Capricorn. So it is about the material plane, living. And I'm wondering if the Devil card, because you say, you know, it comes, you know, pretty much towards the midway point, and you know, with all this, you know, religiosity and especially with Christianity and Catholicism, I'm wondering if it's also this breaking free, like, yeah, you are a central being. You are meant to be on the earth plane, you know, and how to integrate. You talk about shadow. Perhaps is it how do you integrate that in a life-enhancing way, you know, without having judgment? I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
That's exactly how I look at it. Because imagine, let's take a man who has a strong violent tendencies, like a very violent man. And he's always trying to push them back and push them back. That's the devil. So when he watches these films and he sees the criminal, he gets really nervous. You've got to come to terms with that. And as humans, we're violent. I mean, that's who we
are.
So I mean, let's face it, we're bad
monkeys.
Pushing
back or pushing down. It's the pushing back or pushing down that gets...
That's the way
it's not acknowledging. I like that. No, that explains a lot, though.
You've got to acknowledge it. You've got to acknowledge that there are moments when maybe it is necessary to be violent, or in your past, in your genetic past, it was necessary. That's why you're here. That's why your family's here, maybe. Who knows?
Right.
But that's who we are. And look at the opposite card of the devil, the lovers. So in the devil, the two lovers are chained. They're chained. What they thought was so blissful, love and romantic love and money and position, now that's chaining them to the devil. You got to break that. You got to break those chains. You know, the devil's a complex card. Well, I put it in the film. Whatever's got its hooks in you, the devil's going to point them out. He's going to pull on those hooks until you realize, okay. You give in.
You give in to it. So is it about the conscious awareness?
I think it's entirely that, because we can't deny ourselves. We can't deny who we are.
Boy, that's powerful. That's, oh my gosh, Robert. Well, if you have time to ever come back for part two, this has been amazing. This has just been so insightful. I love what you bring to it, the not just the research, but the experience. You're walking this path clearly.
Yeah.
Integrating energy.
Thanks so much. I had a great time. I enjoyed it. It went so quick.
It
felt like 5 minutes.
It did. I know. Well, that's what happens, right? We're having a good time.
Exactly.
Anyway, you've
exactly.
got an open door to come back. And thanks for so much for taking the time to be on Awakenings.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed it. It was great. Take care.
Bye. All right, everyone. Oh, my God. What a great guest. The 21 Faces of God. You can go to Robert Bonanno Cactus Land is the YouTube channel, and that's Robert, this is what it sounds, and then B-O-N-O-N-O, and you can also go to YouTube channel, but also his website, which is cactusland.com. Wow, I'm charged. I loved it. And by the way, I started watching the video. It's pretty amazing, very in-depth. And just rich, you know, whether you're a student of the tarot, especially, but even I feel for artists, there's Tamara in the chat as well, Denise, some of you people bring these images into your art. So it'd be fascinating for you to see the chronological history as well. And again, it's Robert Bonanno was our guest, 21 Faces of God. And that's Bonanno, B-O-N-O-M. Oh, okay. It's in the archives. You'll be able to read about it and check them out. All right, everyone. Always so great to be with all of you. Great questions and comments in the chat. Those of you that called in, thanks for stirring the pot and being a part of the program in that way. And those of you that are listening later in the archives, just enjoy. And for all of you, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.